98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
23 years in the National Football League, and I can tell you this. There is nobody that I admire and respect more than Lorenzo Alexander.
He's one of those guys, he's like a lunch bell guy.
That blue collar appeal to coming to work, he's going to outwork you every single play.
15-year NFL veteran Lorenzo Alexander joins Wolf and Luke to give us the lowdown on the Cardinals and the NFL. Brought to you by Wecopa Casino Resort. Get to WKP Sports for Football Frenzy every Monday at the all-new Wecopa Casino Resort.
Oh, baby, what a hit by Lorenzo Alexander.
Y'all see it?
Yeah, Lorenzo Alexander is here as he is every Thursday for the lowdown. And Zoe, how's it going over there?
I'm doing good. Life is well. I don't have any complaints. You know, I'm actually feeling really good right now. I just finished watching some of the Cardinals film and, you know, talking to Wolf a little bit. I felt sorry for the Texans offense last week, and a lot of that was created by my guy Marcus Golden. Just seeing him and him still making an impact and, you know, going to the Giants, getting traded for last year, and what he's been able to do and the growth of his season. And I just tell you this, my favorite play wasn't even one of his sacks. Obviously, everybody looks at the sacks. Those are sexy. It was a run play. He put his hands on the tight end, drove him back in the backfield, made the running back bubble, and then told the tight end how bad he was right after, barking at him in his face. Yeah, I just dominated you. The nostalgia that I felt when I saw that, it just kind of, you know, threw me back in. And those are the things that you miss. Just putting your hands on another grown man.
Exactly.
Making him go the a direction he doesn't want to go in,
yes,
and then talking trash to him after, like, this is going to be your life for the next 60 minutes.
It was a beautiful gift, honestly, was it not? It really was just the intensity to be able to, this is something that I thank God for, honestly, that you could tap into the primal side, and it was okay to do it out there.
Yeah.
It was okay to tap in to the essence of the game of football and drive somebody into the ground. And guess what? Sometimes it's yourself.
sometimes that
feels even better.
Sometimes the bear gets you.
That's right.
Well, that is so Marcus Golden, though, to not only do it, to make sure the guy knows what just happened in case he missed it. Right.
I used to get off the ground after somebody killed me, and I'd talk trash after he killed me.
All right. Well, Zoe, we got to get into this because it sounds like J.J. Watt is likely done for the year.
And so I
want to get your thoughts on this. I mean, you were one of the best leaders in the league the whole time you played. That reputation has followed you around. And so aside from what J.J. Watt does on the field, is he still going to be able to be an influence if he's not playing on this team?
Yeah, that's one of the hardest things, and that's something that J.J. himself will have to be intentional about. And, you know, once he gets his surgery, if it comes to that, if he's going to miss the, you know, the rest of the year, you know, does he decide to rehab here? Does he decide to rehab, you know, maybe back in Houston or with somebody that he's really comfortable with because they're best in the country and they may not be located in the Arizona community, right? And so those are the roadblocks and the decisions that they will have to make. Or is there somebody in the Valley that's really good at what they do and he's here all the time? You know, I think about Fisher, right? And somebody that's been one of the world-renowned physical therapists that works with the Arizona Cardinals. Yeah. And so that may be a guy that is right here on site that he can rehab with, and so he can still go into the meetings. He can still be around practice. He can still be around the guys, and they can see him. They can see the work that he's putting in there, and he can also speak some truth about, you know, this is what we got to do, because he can become a coach type of mentality now. So it just all depends on what that rehab situation looks like. But it is hard. It is different because you're not mandated to be in everything, right? And your focus is, especially for him, because he's always come back from things like, man, how did you make it back, you know, 2009? How did you make it back? And he did it against us when I played for the Buffalo Bills, made it back and then really destroyed that season, and he was really the difference maker while we lost that playoff game. So he has a guy that has an ability potentially to be back. And so will he be all in on trying to make it back, or will it be like, okay, the season's definitely over no matter what you do? Then he can maybe spread himself a little bit more because he's not so focused about getting back for the playoffs potentially.
Yeah, I think Doc Waz is the orthopedic surgeon for the Arizona Cardinals, a guy that has got a great reputation, does a lot of work for a lot of different teams, as a matter of fact, different sports.
Yeah, he did my knee for me. And, you know, in rehab, while you think about Brett, about Brett Fisher that's here too.
Yes.
That had his own facility for a long time now. You know, he's a consultant for the Cardinals, maybe even on a staff full time now. I know I see him on the sidelines. You know, those two guys are really good, but it always comes back to the player and do they feel comfortable with those individuals.
What kind of impact do you think it's going to have on this defense going forward? I know it's hard to evaluate, but just your guess.
Because he's so impactful and he impacts the game in so many different ways and he really was starting to grow. If you'd have asked me that if this had happened after week two, I'd have said, maybe not that much, right? Because he hadn't quite found his season legs and in his rhythm. But JJ's been getting in rhythm, creating havoc. Obviously, the sack numbers haven't necessarily piled up, but the impact plays as far as him creating turnovers, pressures, hits, just the way he's, you know, put his stamp on each game. And so you will miss him when he's not out there. Now this is an opportunity. You know, it's always the next man up because, you know, the injury rate in the NFL is 100%. So everybody's going to go down or somebody's going to be hurt or go down at some point in time. And now you have to fill that void. The good thing is that this team and Steve Keim and what they've done is much deeper than last year. I don't expect to get a phone call from Steve Keim this year, right? Hey, Zo, what are you doing? They're deeper. They're a better football team. And that just shows growth and where they're at, where you don't have to rely on a over-the-hill 38-year-old to come in and potentially fill a void, right? You have guys that we talk about, whether it's Zach, you have a Jordan Phillips who has shown up last week playing really well in the run game, has a great, to your point, great power. He just has to have the consistency and the motivation there. So hopefully that shows up because he seizes a need and opportunity right now. Marcus has grown a lot, just the way he's been playing, the dominant. And then obviously Chandler Jones getting him back, seeing how, you know, having that week off, if he's able to get back and be impactful. But there's guys on this team where they can fill that void based on them continuing to rise above the fray. And then also if collectively, and I haven't even mentioned, you know, Vance Joseph and schematically what they can do. But I really think this can be player driven versus having to come up with something to fill the void of J.J. Watt schematically.
I bet you still have one in you, don't you?
I mean, I got one. Right? That's it. One. I don't know if that's good. We don't know. When do we use that one? Do you want me to set the tone or do you want me to finish it off? I don't know.
I love that, man. Listen, it's very interesting because Next Gen Stats. Are you ready for this?
I'm going to drop this on you
because I love what they're doing right here. Listen to this. This is a stat that matters. The Cardinals' pass rush has made a large impact, right, causing 10 turnovers from pressure this season. 10 turnovers from pressure. J.J. Watt, Chandler Jones, and Marcus Golden are all tied for the league lead with 3 turnovers caused by pressure.
Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
It's great. I mean, these next-gen stats are amazing. I wish they had that when I was playing. It was just about the number. Now you got all these things that show you your impact of a game.
But you know it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know that impact that you're having as a defender without necessarily – because a lot of – like again, I already mentioned this. You look at the number. How many sacks does he have? Oh, 2?
Yeah.
Well, he must not be playing well.
Yes.
But you turn the film on – to Marcus or Chandler or to some of these other guys on his defensive line, you know, obviously J.J. kind of leading his way. You just see the impact, the way he's being disruptive. And that's one of the things that you always wanted to be able to be as a defensive lineman especially is be disruptive. Whether you're making running backs have to make a decision in a cut or you're making quarterbacks have to speed up. And so that has been one of the reasons why this team defensively has been so dominant because of those that front line creating that pressure. Because if you win the game is won in the trenches. You know, everybody want to talk about quarterback, receiver, Adam Jones, Hopkins, Kyler. The game is won in the trenches, which we saw on full display of why Kyler and them started slow because offensive line play wasn't well.
Yeah.
The game is won in the trenches, and the defensive line is really being the bell cow for this defense and allowing the back end to play well as well and raising their game up.
When we come back, if the Cardinals win tonight, will they finally get the national respect they deserve? Probably not from one guy. We'll explain that next. The Lowdown continues with the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
23 years in the National Football League, and I can tell you this. There is nobody that I admire and respect more than Lorenzo Alexander.
He's one of those guys. He's like a lunch bell guy.
That blue-collar appeal to coming to work. He's going to outwork you every single play.
15-year NFL veteran Lorenzo Alexander joins Wolf and Luke to give us the lowdown on the Cardinals and the NFL. Brought to you by Wekopa Casino Resort. Get to WKP Sports for Football Frenzy every Monday at the all-new Wekopa Casino Resort.
Oh, baby, what a hit by Lorenzo Alexander.
Y'all see it?
The one rule of the nest is don't sleep on the nest. Yes, all are welcome here. Welcome into their nightmare. Its protectors appear to play nice, but don't be fooled by a smile. For those who enter, vanish. Because within the sea of red, fear is preyed upon. Hesitation devoured. And escape doubtful. Try if you wish. Enter if you dare. But the nest is undefeated.
As if you weren't already ready for this game tonight at State Farm Stadium. That's courtesy of AZ Cardinals Twitter. That's the video they put out. If you haven't seen that, feel free to check it out.
It's got a little Halloween to it, yeah. Doesn't it?
A little Halloween theme. A couple days away. Yeah.
Yeah, that's very cool. Tonight is going to be awesome because of that, right? I mean, you would imagine Halloween starts tonight. There's going to be
things right? Most definitely. That's something I always used to enjoy, you know, the kind of the mystique. The NFL and the teams like put together around Halloween and hitting cats. And, you know, we've seen Myles Garrett do his thing last week. We just saw Bruce Smith do his thing, right, with the tombstones. I'm doing my thing this week. The Myles Garrett, I had to steal his idea a little bit. I put my own little twist. Obviously, I don't have sacks like those guys, but I got some big-time special teams hits like those guys, right? So I'm actually having a party Saturday night at our house, and we're going to have people coming over. And as you walk through my backyard, it's kind of you have to walk through the house in a detached garage, and so it's kind of like a spook alley that I've created.
Oh, that's
with
beautiful.
With tombstones of guys that I have jacked up, right? You got jacked. So it's kind of like a jacked up, inspired tombstone. And then as you watching it, I created this video. Erin helped me with the music. Shout out to her. That is going to be a video plan of the guys, and you're going to actually be able to see the hits. It's like a minute video that I'll have on loop. Yeah, I go all out. If I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. I'm going to take it to another level.
Okay, you know what?
Are you inviting them over? Like the guys that you actually hit? Or are you like, oh, by the way, look, here
well,
you are.
Well, some of them are still playing. You know, Tom Brady's on there. He made it.
Nice.
He's still playing. AJ Green made it. I think he's going to be busy, you know, resting up this weekend.
So those aren't special teams hits.
Well, right. Some of them are. Well, those two aren't.
Okay,
those are. But then I have Jordan Calvin on there, which you won't know him, but Eagles, Washington, 2010. I was still 275. Got him twice in the same year. Yeah. It was that type of hit.
It was bad.
And then who else was on? Oh, Lamont Jordan. He was an upback. He wasn't actually the returner. Bloop kick to him, Denver, 2010. That hurt me a little bit when I hit him, but this is a great picture of me hitting him and us literally being parallel in the air. I was on top, of course.
Oh, my. You got to take a picture of that.
Yeah,
honestly,
I will. I will.
Take a picture and send it to me.
All right, I will.
Yeah, you're speaking Wolf's language now for sure. That sounds cool.
That's too cool.
Okay, this is going to get Wolf angry, but I have to play it anyway. You haven't heard the Bart Scott clip yet, have you?
No.
Okay. This is it's kind of been a running theme on the show this week, Zoe, that for whatever reason there seem to be some people nationally that just don't want to appreciate what the Cardinals have done. My stance is they're going to have to watch tonight. There's no other game. I feel like some of these guys maybe just aren't watching the Cardinals yet, and they're going to have to tonight. So for better or for worse, depending on how this game goes, the Cardinals are going to get recognition. But this is Bart Scott on ESPN yesterday.
It's like they're playing teams at the right time. And now you get another team that you're going to have. And just imagine how those teams look on their resume as the season progresses. Like, how does that "we beat Tennessee" sound now, right? How does that "we beat Green Bay" with sound now, right? But it's fool's gold, right? Because you don't know what this team really is when they go against a good team. We won't know until maybe they go against the Rams for the second time. We won't know who or what they really are. This was an important test for them, right, to kind of measure themselves and see where they are. And now I think they can go around and be feeling good about themselves, but not really have and know in their hearts how good of a football team they are can be.
All right. I don't know where to go with that.
Yeah, I mean, I actually listen to that show every morning. I get up, work out, you know, around – I'm in the gym about 6, so I always turn ESPN on, and I get to see and hear those guys' opinion. And you got a preference when you hear national media, right? They don't watch the games. They watch the high – it doesn't matter, though. Even if a undefeated team, right, if you watch, like, for example, the Pittsburgh Steelers last year, if you watched their games, you can see, like, oh, I don't know – what this is going to look like. Is it sustainable the way they're winning games? When you watch the Arizona Cardinals play, and granted, you know, like the Minnesota game, the field goal, whatever.
Yeah.
But when you watch them play and play well, it's like, man, this team is for real. When you look at the weapons that they have and the different guys they can go to, how they're beating you defensively, it's like this is sound, complimentary football that is happening right here.
Oh boy, here we go. Here we go.
Complimentary. See, and I think
I
did that intentionally, Wolf.
I
did that intentionally, Wolf.
Because
I think you have the wrong perception of what complimentary football is. It actually embodies what you love, doing your job. When we sit down as a coaching staff and we put up a plan, this is the plan. We're going to play complimentary football based on the way our team is made up. And you go out there and do your job, it's going to complement the offense. Special teams, you go out there and do your job, it's going to complement the defense and allow them to do their job much better. So I think it's all together, baby. It's all together.
The fact that, you know, the defense turns the ball over. Now the offense scored because the defense turned the ball over.
It creates a higher probability of a score, though.
So why don't you do your job on every
you
play
do.
Like you were a madman?
We're talking about the same thing.
But coaches don't talk about that. Players might be talking about that. Complimentary football, they talk about regard that. Oh, you generated a turnover. We got to score a touchdown.
No. So I think you have understanding of what complimentary football is. And so, for example, it's how you win a game a lot of times. You normally try to win based on your team. Like, for example, the Ravens for a lot of years had played just great defense. And on third down, if you really looked at them maybe 5 or 6 years ago and then moving forward, like Ray Lewis' time, they always had teams in like 3rd and 16, great punt. Their offense wasn't explosive, but they would put their offense in advantageous spots because they was playing together, and they would win games that way. So it was complementing each other. Complimentary football doesn't mean, the defense does great now, and now the offense, now you got to pick your game up.
But you're going to point to that. That's what coaches point to after games. They say, you know what, we turned them over right there, and then we actually, off of turnovers, we took the ball and we drove down the field
Correct.
And scored a touchdown. We played great complimentary football. That's what they say.
Doing your job.
Why not? I know that, but as an individual player, aren't you going to do your job every play?
Yes,
regardless of if it's complimentary or not.
But you could go out there trying to do your job and not execute, then you're not playing complimentary football because you're not doing your job.
Yeah, but again, if you're trying harder because now all of a sudden something happened where this is a great opportunity to play complimentary football.
You're supposed to take advantage of it. You're not playing better, but there's stats to support it. So if I get a turnover and the team gets the ball, let's say on the 20-yard line of the opponent versus your own 20, your percentages, you already got a field goal.
Right.
Your percentage of scoring a touchdown shoots up the roof.
Okay.
That's great complimentary football.
Right.
But if your defense can't get off the field, you're not playing great complimentary football.
So what are you saying? Now that all of a sudden we did get it on the 20, I'm going to try harder?
No, I didn't say. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean try harder.
See, and that's why I'm saying, why even recognize it then? Why not just say, are you kidding me? We're going out there, we're playing football.
Because
every play, we're giving everything we got.
Because some teams aren't good enough to execute their job. Talent, whatever it may be, bad coaching, bad player, not good enough talent, they aren't unable to play complimentary football because they can't do their job at a good enough rate to win the game and put everybody team aspect, right? Working together, complimenting one another.
Yeah, what I don't like is innate. What's innate in it, saying that now all of a sudden we've got to go. It's go time now, well, as opposed to any other time.
It's all good, Ruf. I just wanted to rile you up a little bit. Then we'll talk about it.
Yeah, I was going to set you up next segment, but you just took off with it.
Yeah.
You know what? And now all of a sudden you guys really got me ready for the game tonight.
Yeah, I know.
We did our job then. Good job. Good job, Luke.
We should have done that at 11:53.
It's complimentary broadcasting.
Yeah, we're working together over here. Yeah.
We did let Bart Scott off the hook, but I think we'll get back to him later. Text us your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up, what Aaron Rodgers will the Cardinals be getting tonight? We'll ask Lorenzo Alexander next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
23 years in the National Football League, and I can tell you this. There is nobody that I admire and respect more than Lorenzo Alexander.
He's one of those guys, he's like a lunch bell guy.
That blue collar appeal to coming to work. He's going to outwork you every single play.
15-year NFL veteran Lorenzo Alexander joins Wolf and Luke to give us the lowdown on the Cardinals and the NFL. Brought to you by Wekopa Casino Resort. Get to WKP Sports for Football Frenzy every Monday at the all-new Wekopa Casino Resort.
Oh, baby, what a hit by Lorenzo Alexander.
Y'all see it?
Okay, before we go any further, I got to thank Zoe, because this Arizona Cardinals shirt I'm wearing is essentially because of you last week.
Okay.
Because remember, you came in here with your story.
Yeah,
And so I started complaining that I didn't get one like the child that I am, and the Cardinals sent one over.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah, isn't that nice?
Man, you took it right out of the bag, didn't you?
Nice, yeah.
There's no ironing this. Put it right on.
Put it right on, man.
Man after my own heart there. You know, just take it out of the bag, dude.
Yes, thank you, though. I once tried to iron a shirt like this, and it just went right through it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just going to wear it with the wrinkles.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Look at the tag. There's my advice for you. Look at the tag. I look at the tag all the time, and I still just fry clothes.
Just iron right over the tag.
Just don't even care.
All right. The game tonight, obviously, a lot of it hinges on the Cardinals being able to stop or at least slow down Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, it's funny the way this game has been built up over the last few days. We played a clip yesterday where it was like, yeah, the game's already over. The Cardinals have already won because Devontae Adams isn't playing. And now people have moved on to, like, you can't really give them credit because they beat the Packers without the game hasn't even started yet.
Right.
And Aaron Rodgers is out there, I'm sure, hearing more of this than we realize. And Zoe, maybe it's just my perception, but when I watch that guy, when he feels like he's being overlooked is when he has his best games.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, even when you say that, you're almost validating his greatness based on what Devontae Adams brings, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and so that for him, and just how he perceives it, Devontae Adams is one of the best receivers in the league and obviously helps him. But he's going to perceive that as, oh, man, you don't think I can do this, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And so he is just naturally built like that, making, you know, nothing out of or making something out of nothing, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So I see this game. He's going to obviously come out. They're going to have a plan. Watching some of the film, you know, getting the ball out of their hands quick, using Jones early. You know, Tanyan is going to show up, I think, in the game plan as well. And so it's going to be interesting to see just how they attack it. But again, you know, if they can't stop Kyler in that offense, they can put up points as they've been doing. They can eliminate that run game and really make this team one-dimensional, and I think that's going to allow a guy like a Marcus Golden and Chandler Jones to take advantage of this Green Bay's offensive line, especially Green Bay's left tackle.
See, once again, you bring up that point. I think it's a very valid point for the Arizona Cardinals going forward the rest of the season, especially now that J.J. Watt looks as though he will be done for the rest of the season. I think the Cardinals' offense is their best defense overall.
Yeah.
I think it really is. Just the fact that you can make opposing offenses one-dimensional. And you look at the Arizona Cardinals' pass defense right now, you're talking about number three in the league in yards per game, number three in the league in yards per play. So do you think there's been a lot of opportunity for teams to try to throw the ball against the Arizona Cardinals with all the leads they've had?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Right.
No doubt about it. And here they are 7-0 right now, and yet they're number 3-3 in those two categories, respectively. That tells you, number one third down defense in the league. Once again,
That's essential.
The defensive quarterback rating is number 4 in the National Football League at 84.5. You know how much is behind those numbers right there.
Right.
You means you're mentally, you're buttoned up on the back end. You're not making mental errors. Your tackling is really, really good. Your tackling in the secondary is really, really good. And it's loaded. The pressure you're getting on a quarterback at that defensive quarterback rating number, I put a lot of stock into, and they're number 4 in the National Football League.
That tackling in the secondary probably doesn't get talked about enough.
I mean,
from your perspective, Zoe, if you're playing linebacker and you know the guys behind you aren't going to let anybody pass them, that's got to give you, like, I guess confidence in what's behind you at least.
Yeah, well, that's what jumped out at me, you know, 2 weeks ago when I came in. I was like, man, the DBs are just tackling really well because you're going to give up passes. But what beats you in this league are explosion plays going against some of these great athletes, and we see them all, and every single week a team has at least one, right? Obviously, Green Bay won't have Davante Adams, but that doesn't mean that there's not another guy on that team is able to run after the catch and make those, you know, a 10 or 15 yard curl or crossing route and turn that into a touchdown, just like Hurts did last week for the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah.
Those plays, when you allow that to happen, that's what beats you in the NFL, giving up those big plays and being able to tackle a guy, defend every blade of grass. That allows the defense to line back up, because most teams cannot methodically just work their way down the field without having a holding penalty or an offsides or, you know, blowing some type of coverage or dropping a ball. And so you have to make them work. And that's one thing that Vance Joseph and his defense has been able to do with their great tackling. They're making people earn it. You know, they're not, oh, he missed a tackle and now he goes for 50. Now, if you want to score, you're going to have to work against us.
Yeah.
So watching tape on Aaron Rodgers, of course, and the Green Bay Packers, you could see offensively they still put him under center quite a bit, as a matter of fact. They put him under center. A lot of rundown situations, as you would imagine.
Right.
And you know what's coming. Here comes the tackle zone or the outside zone or stretch, whatever you call it. Here it comes. And, of course, the five plays that come off of that play. And it's so interesting to watch them just execute that. They do it so well. You could tell they could almost do it in their sleep, those five plays for the most part. And what a big part of their offense. It really is.
Yeah, I mean, the play action, being able to run the ball, obviously it all starts right there. And again, I guess to be able to eliminate those things, to your point earlier, is making sure Kyler and them score points to where they feel like, hey, well, why are we running the ball right now? That's going to help. But if they're able to stay in that, they're pretty formidable. Jones, I don't think, gets enough credit as a runner in this league and what he's able to do. And so, you know, and that's one of the things that I think I may be still unsure about the Cardinals. Obviously, their numbers aren't great, but I want to, if they have to get into a game where you have a team that can run the ball and it stays close, are they able to stop, you know, the bleeding when they need to? Are they able to make the plays? And so far they have. You know, the 49ers game, we can go back to that and what they were able to do and obviously figure out a way to win the game. But
Titans, Browns did a great job.
Yeah, they stopped. They definitely stopped the run in those games. But also the offense helped them in those games. I'm talking about if it's like a, 17-14 game and it's still close. And also those other teams don't have an Aaron Rodgers on their team either, right? He changed the dynamic. And so in a tight game, when they're able to run the ball, are they able to come up versus Aaron Rodgers? And this is me searching, you know, where's the next box, right? And so now it's a great having been able to play a close game and beat another great quarterback in a tight contested game. You know, they beat the Rams. I think Stafford's good, but they handled them from start to finish in a tight game. If it comes down to that, can they overcome that and be able to beat, you know, a guy like Aaron Rodgers?
When you said the offense helped them, I was worried we were getting into another complimentary
football
discussion.
No, I'm staying away. I'm gonna use my words wisely and intentionally. I don't want to rile my brother up.
He's talking about the strategic level, and I'm talking about the tactical level.
Maybe there's
we're
something
talking
to
about
that.
Two different perspectives.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's go with that as we go to break. Coming up, what do the Cardinals want to do against the Packers tonight? The lowdown continues. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
23 years in the National Football League, and I can tell you this. There is nobody that I admire and respect more than Lorenzo Alexander.
one of those guys. He's like a lunch bell guy.
That blue collar appeal to coming to work. He's going to outwork you every single play.
15-year NFL veteran Lorenzo Alexander joins Wolf and Luke to give us the lowdown on the Cardinals and the NFL. Brought to you by Wecopa Casino Resort. Get to WKP Sports for Football Frenzy every Monday at the all-new Wecopa Casino Resort.
Oh, baby, what a hit by Lorenzo Alexander.
Y'all see it?
Of course, Thursday night football tonight, the 7-0 Cardinals and the 6-1 Green Bay Packers. Both teams a little beat up. I mean, there's really no way around that, I guess. So that's just sort of the way it is when you get 8 weeks into the NFL season. Maybe a little enhanced by the fact that it's Thursday night football, too?
You all know it's enhanced by Thursday night football. You know, when I played, I always, if we had a Thursday, I was hoping that it was, you know, whenever the first week it happened. So week two. Week one, get it out the way because, I mean, it's hard sledding to get ready for a third, let alone, you know, a Sunday game halfway through the season. Now you're erasing 3 days of recovery, especially for older players and just players in general. And dealing with the league where the injury rate is 100%, nobody's 100%, or injury rate is 100%, nobody's 100% healthy right now. It's just hard, and it's just, you know, obviously part of the thing that we got to do because of what it means financially for the league and you know the benefits that way. But it is definitely a hard thing to prepare for and overcome. That's why most of the times the game plan is very basic. You probably carry over a lot of the same calls, plays. You know, you'll have a couple of wrinkles in there from some advanced scouting and game planning from the coach's perspective, but you only can walk through stuff.
Yeah.
So you can't really even see it at full tempo, and so you want to keep it basic. So, guys, you tend to win these games by being disciplined, not too many penalties, and going out there and executing a simple game plan and playing fast because you want to be – play faster than the other team who's obviously dealing with the same circumstances.
So from the Cardinals' perspective right now, if there were keys to the game, what are you thinking about as we're only hours away now from kickoff? What are you looking at with the Arizona Cardinals and thinking this is what they've got to do in order to win?
I would say, you know, number one, and I think this may be one of the things they've maybe struggled with, and I may have just feel this way because it's what happened last week, but starting faster offensively, it'd be great just to go down there, get a touchdown off the jump. Boom, we own you. Well, now what you going to do, right? I think that is essential. Obviously, stopping Jones, right? Stopping the run game early with Jones. I'm always go back to that because fundamentally for the defense and winning the trenches, you set the tone there because then it's going to allow you to set yourself up for third and longer so you can get after Aaron Rodgers, right? And you're not going to confuse Aaron, but you definitely want to hit him. But those are probably my top two. Start fast offensively. Make sure you control the line of scrimmage and dominate the game there and make this a one-dimensional game for Aaron and then abuse again, that offensive line of Green Bay with the rushers that you guys have up front.
How much, with it being a Thursday night game, how much does it benefit not only the fact that the Cardinals are the home team, but that they were also home on Sunday? You know what I mean? So, like, they've been here all week.
It helps out a lot. I mean, you don't have to travel. You're not groggy from a plane ride. You're not coming back from the East Coast, potentially. You're in your bed. You're in your routine. You're in a familiar setting. And then you didn't have to travel, you know, on that Wednesday. And so it's definitely beneficial just from a recovery perspective. I think that's probably where you see the greatest, I guess, competitive advantage just because you've been in where you need to be for this game on a short week.
Do you believe that defenses actually are good at turning people over like they do it intentionally? Like there are some teams that are just better than others at doing that, and it's not happenstance, so to speak?
And that's a mindset a lot of times because I've been around different organizations, and some teams just have guys that – know how to do it, and they just do it. Like, you know, Chandler Jones, every time it's going to be a strip sack, right?
Yeah.
You think about Tyrann Mathieu. He's always going to get some interceptions. He's around the ball. Some guys just have the it factor, and it doesn't matter who they're playing for, where they're lining up, they're going to create some type of turnover. And I'm in my mind is like, man, how do you do that? I'm trying to do that and can't do it. And then collectively as a defense, I've been around certain coaching staffs that really emphasize it and have circuit drills every week, you know, stripping, intercepting, you know, and putting everybody around the ball, you know, picking up fumbles, things that you take for granted and you just assume it's easy to do. But when you have guys flying in there and the ball is bouncing, you're nervous and you haven't been in that situation, you tend to panic. So great coaching staffs put their guys in those simulated situations. So when it comes up in the game, they're thinking about it. I remember Sean McDermott being in Philly, Bob Babbage being in Chicago with Peanut Tillman, brought Peanut Tillman in to talk to our team about the peanut punch. Right? This is what it looks like. This is how you do it. And then we would have drills to reinforce what Peanut had taught us. And we would do that throughout the year. We would never take it for granted. And so when we was out there, you see guys, when guys are tacked, falling to the ground, punching. You had a mindset about it. And then once you get one out, coaches will reward us with points in the grading system. Man, I'm trying to get me one. It becomes a competition. Like, man, you got a sack, but I got a forced fumble. We got the ball back, right? So it became a mentality and an attitude and part of our culture. And you can see the teams that do it and the teams that don't focus on it as much.
If you're Green Bay, this is a weird spot because I understand the logic of let's just give Aaron Jones the ball, keep the ball out of Kyler Murray's hands, right? Or at least try and run or do whatever, short passes. But if you're the Packers, can you ever go into a game saying, let's take the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hands? Like, there's got to be a balance there, right?
Yes. It's definitely a balance. I mean, you're never going to take the ball out of Aaron's hands because he makes everybody better around him. He's able to dissect defenses and understand where he needs to go with the ball, right? And so he's going to get it out of his hands and get it to those playmakers where they need to. But you want to be able to slow down this pass rush. I mean, they've been getting after some quarterbacks. And so you have to be able to run the ball and have a solid thread of it in order to make Marcus, oh, do I need to sit down and then convert to my pass rush? But if you just let these guys, Chandler, Marcus, Zach, Jordan, these guys just go and get after the quarterback, it's going to be a long day because I don't think they can hold up for four quarters, especially when you mix in some of the blitzes that Vance Joseph draws up. But that may not confuse Aaron, but probably would confuse a lineman or two.
Yeah.
And that's just the same thing as confusing Aaron because now you have pressure right in his face. And so that's why Green Bay has to make an exerted effect to be able to run the ball because they don't have an Adam Jones who can bail him out, you know. And that's essential to that offense when they're maybe in some third and longer situations.
So, Zoe, what do you expect to see tonight? I expect the Arizona Cardinals to win tonight. Again, it's not a prediction. I just think if they played 10 times, they're going to win at 7.
And I'm right here with you. Like I told you, I'm firmly confident in this team and what they're able to do collectively, offense, defense, and special teams, and where they're playing right now, the confidence, Kyler Murray, his ability to find guys, extend plays, their run game, which I've really enjoyed watching this year. Even last week versus the Texans when they were struggling, that run game got them through that early second part of that quarter to lead and get them back into it. You know, Connors and Edmonds, I just love what they're doing there from a physical standpoint and establishing the run. And then obviously threw in Hurts. I mean, they just have so many matchup issues. Green Bay's defense is good. I mean, people may hate on it a little bit, but I was watching last week, and I know it was Washington football team and Taylor Heineke. It's not a great quarterback, right? But he's not Kyler Murray. But they were communicating well, passing routes off. Washington does have Terry McLaurin, who's pretty good. And so they just did a really good job on the back end. But I just feel like overall, with all the matchups, when we go down the line from A.J. to Hop to Christian Kirk to Hurts, Rondale Moore, right? They just have so many guys you have to worry about, and they can beat you so many different ways that it's going to be hard for – it's really hard for anybody to keep up with them, and this team is not going to be able to do it in the Green Bay Packers. So I'm rocking with the Cardinals once again.
Zoe, we appreciate it so much that you actually have to stay because Wolf's leaving now for the game.
Okay.
So you're going to hang around.
Thank you,
Zoe.
Oh, yeah, no. Can I get Wolf's paycheck?
Yeah, absolutely.
That'd be an upgrade. I need to get upgraded,
baby. Look, now, can I have your 401k? Do you mind?
No, you can't have that. You can't have that. That's a good one, man.
All right, bro. Thank you, dude.
Yep.
We'll come back. We'll take you through the top stories of the day with Wolf and Down Your Lunch. Next, it's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.